Hi, it's Pete Norstead here, and welcome to another Trade on Sports and Focused on Football Premier League betting podcast. As usual, I'm joined by Jimmy Kempton, and we're starting the podcast early. Jimmy, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. I quite like this 2 weeks to get through some games, and I believe you're sunning yourself at the moment.
Well, I wouldn't say sunning myself. It's overcast and damp, but it is warmer.
Oh, at least I know you've got your shirt on then recording this podcast. I always worry if it's too warm out there.
Yeah, so, I mean, today we've got the FA Cup, Peterborough at home to Leeds United. You know, I'm a bit disappointed to be missing it, to be quite honest. Obviously, it's going to be some occasion there. It's a complete sellout, so hopefully it should be a good game.
I'm hoping you sat out in Madeira with your Stone Island jacket on, mate, hoping to thinking about the lads back home fighting the good fight for the pot. I bet that'll be a bit tasty.
Yeah,
that underpass near the ground.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, obviously Leeds will bringing in 4,000, and you know it'll be interesting. No question about that.
Will you be watching it on some dodgy VPN, Peter, or will you be listening on the radio?
No, I'll be listening on the radio through a. It's not a dodgy VPN, by the way. They're a reputable company.
I just clear now that you would only go through reputable sites, Peter.
Yes. Right, as we say, we've got a. It's strange. The Premier League games are split between the 2 weeks. We've got 5-1 next weekend and 5 the following weekend. Then it goes into a week, and then we have a midweek session. And I think it's because of the FA Cup, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I think they have a little bit of a winter break so they can rest up. Then they can put them straight back on the treadmill of 2 games a week.
Yeah, then they have, what is it? Do they have, I think it's the 5th and 6th round of the FA Cup are on a week, a midweek, aren't they?
I think.
I find that strange. And I do find these kickoff times strange.
Yeah.
I just...
Yeah,
it was miles better when they had them all 3 o'clock and whatever. And it's...
Yes, I know, us old-fashioned folk, though, Peter. We've got to move with the times, mate.
Yes, and unfortunately, I don't think you get the shocks like you used to, do you? It's, you know...
No, I mean, I'm a big fan of almost having it seeded and making Premier League teams play away, but that's just...
Yes, me. yes, I agree with you. Right, anyway, let's start with the West London derby. Chelsea against Fulham. Recent head-to-heads, Chelsea have won 2. There's been 1 draw, Fulham not 1. -1 the handicap here. Chelsea, when they're -1, 1-5, drawn 4, lost 1, with only 2 of the 5 coming by. Coming off a 3-2 victory away. When they're +1 goal, 2 lost 6. 4 of the 6 defeats were by 2 or more goals. Come off a very good 2-1 victory at home to Arsenal. 3 or more goals have been seen in 8 of Fulham's last 9 and in 8 of Chelsea's last 10. So goals could be on the card. -1 goal, 291 matches, 113 home, 75 push, 103 away. Morace is suggesting some good value Fulham. And really, again, I don't see that Chelsea have done enough to sort of deserve this -1 goal.
They certainly haven't, Peter. And when I saw this line, I was kind of like, oh, jumping up and down and thinking, oh, crikey, right, let's get on Fulham. The more I've thought about it, though, Pete, the more I'm kind of being put off by it here. Because when you think about it, Fulham were on this same line at home to Arsenal. And yes, they won the game. They covered it sort of quite easily, obviously, because they won the game 2-1. But now they're making the trip to Stamford Bridge. Chelsea have won 5 of the last 7 meetings of the sides, and they did win the game when they met for the first time this season at Craven Cottage. So at first glance, I'm thinking, yeah, crikey, let's get on Fulham. But the more I analyse it, the more I'm thinking, do you know what? Can I really trust Fulham away from home to... You know, they've gone 1-3-6, Pete, and they've only scored 9 goals. So although it's the side I'm leaning to, the more I think about it, the less excited I am about backing Fulham +1, to be honest. But for the purposes of the podcast, for a bet each game, I will take Fulham +1. But the more I think about it, the less attracted I am to it.
Newcastle against Manchester City next. Recent head-to-heads have been fairly competitive fixture. Newcastle have won one. There's been three draws. Manchester City have won three. Plus one goal, the handicap here. When plus one goal at home, Newcastle's record reads 1-3, drawn three, lost four. Only two of the four defeats were by two or more goals, coming off a 4-2 defeat away at Liverpool. Manchester City, when they're minus one goal away from home, 1-7, drawn nought, lost three. Four of the seven were by two or more goals, coming off a 2-0 victory at home to Sheffield United. Newcastle, they've lost five of the last six. Plus one goal, 190 matches, 64 home, 55 push, 71 away. My rating suggesting good value Newcastle. And really, when you look at their home record against the better sides, I think it's a fair bet.
Well, there's been a big line move in this game, Pete. And I don't mean in terms of actually sort of going through different numbers and shifting hugely. But I think this line move from Man City minus three quarters to Man City minus one is a big thing. Now, as you quite rightly say, Newcastle's record in this spot against the better sides is good. I do think, though, City will win the game, but I think Newcastle will cause them problems. I think Anthony Gordon will trouble them a lot on the break. And I've also just noticed one thing, Peter. Every single one of these Premier League games over the next 2 weeks is going to be live on telly, isn't it?
Yes.
So they've structured it. So every game this week, or this two upcoming weeks, will have full exposure globally. So the home teams will want to put on a big show. There'll be a big atmosphere. This is a 5:30 game, so the lights will be on at St James's. The pints will have been sunk in and around the ground earlier on in the day. So there will be a bouncing atmosphere. And even though I think Man City will win the game, that line move from minus three quarters to minus one completely puts me off taking City, to be honest, Pete. If it had stayed at minus three quarters, I would have quite happily backed Man City, thinking, do you know what? I think my worst case scenario would be a half win. Now I'm thinking, well, I might get a push. And if the crowd really get behind them, or if there's a controversial decision, or the referee, you know, the atmosphere ratchets it up, Newcastle could actually get a positive result. So I think I'll take the over three goals, Pete, for the purposes of the podcast. But now that line has shifted to minus one, I can't get involved in the match line at all.
Everton versus Aston Villa next. Recent head-to-heads, Everton have won one, has been one draw. Villa have won three. Scratch the handicap here. When off scratch, Everton's record reads 1-4, draw nought, lost six. Coming off a 3-0 defeat away at Wolves. Villa, when they're away, off scratch, 1-6, drawn 3, lost 1. That's a good record, that is, from Aston Villa. Come off a 3-2 victory home to Burnley. Everton lost their last three. Indeed, I was quite surprised with that. I had to check that. I thought, I've written this down. I had to check that this morning. Because they went through that good spell, didn't they, Everton? They won four on the bounces, and then they've lost their last three. Scratch over the last 9 years, 262 matches, 85 home, 82 push, 95 away. Good value, Aston Villa. And, you know, the form that Everton are in, you know, it seems reasonable.
Yes. I mean, when this line opened, Pete, this line opened scratch, but Everton were the favourites. Everton were 1.85 on this line. If you look this morning, it's flipped. It's Aston Villa that are now 1.85. Everton have scored just once in the last six meetings of the teams. Villa have gone 4-2 and 4 on the road this season, and they've got a negative minus five goal difference. It's interesting you mentioned there in terms of how you had to double check Everton's recent results. If you look in the teams that they beat in that four-game span that you referenced, Forest, a Newcastle side that was really struggling with injuries and shot themselves in the foot at Goodison Park that night, Chelsea and Burnley. The three teams they then lost to, Spurs, Man City, Wolves, all teams who are very good teams, or in the case of Wolves, I think are improving greatly. This is what this Villa side is. Bar that loss to Forest this season, Villa have only been beaten by Liverpool, Newcastle and Man United. You have to lean to Villa here, Pete. Now, whether you pull the trigger on them and bet them or not, I'm not sure. It could be another one of those backs to the wall games at Goodison Park, although it is the 2 o'clock kickoff on the Sunday, so the lights won't be on. It'll be a little bit more of a subdued atmosphere than if it'd been a Saturday afternoon and people had been in the pub or an evening game with the lights on. But I think Villa's definitely the side to take here, Pete. I think they're pretty decent value, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a good bet that. Manchester United Spurs next. Recent head-to-heads. Man United 1-6, Spurs have 1-2. Minus a quarter goal here, the handicap. When minus quarter goal, Manchester United's record is 1-4, drawn 5, lost 1. Cut off a 2-1 defeat away at Forest. That was a poor defeat, I thought, for Manchester United there. Tottenham Hotspur, when they're away, plus a quarter. 1-0, drawn 3, lost 7. That's a poor record that is for Spurs. Cut off a 3-1 victory at home to Bournemouth. Spurs scored at least 2 goals in their last 5 matches. Minus a quarter, 587 matches, 243 home, 174 half loss, 169 loss. That gives 243 home, 256 away. Morais is suggesting value Spurs. I think this could be a good game, this one.
I think it'll be a cracker, Pete. I've got, I'm in the process of writing a focused on football.co.uk preview for this game. Lots of thoughts going around my head in this one, but the main one is that how open and entertaining it's going to be, because despite what we think about Manchester United and their reluctance at times to attack or open up, I don't think teams have an option against this Spurs side. The way Big Ange wants to get his teams playing over wide expanses of the ground. And I think, you know, sadly for this Man United side, long gone are the days when Sir Alex can just walk into the dressing room and his team talk is, come on, this is Spurs, go out there and beat them. This Man United team need a little bit more direction, and this Spurs team are a very fluid and vibrant side, even if they're missing some of their more key players, shall we say. I think when you look back at that Man United-Villa game, Villa were priced off scratch, and Villa led 2-0 at half-time. Now, I think Villa are a marginally better side than Spurs. The league table suggests that. And I think what you see when you watch them suggests that as well. But I don't really think Man United have done anything to earn an extra quarter of goal respect than they did against Villa, against this Spurs side, based on the fact that Villa capitulated in the second half there. And then they went away to Notts Forest and lost. So I think plus a quarter of a goal, Pete, Spurs look pretty decent value in, as you say, a game that looks set to be very entertaining.
Burnley against Luton next. This is on the Monday evening.
That sounds like a cracker, that one, Pete.
Minus half goal here. I was a little bit surprised at that, to be honest. Burnley, when they're minus half a goal, plus 1-2, drawn 2, lost none, coming for 2-3 defeats away at Villa. Luton, they've not been plus half a goal away from home yet this season. They're coming off a 3-2 defeat at home to Chelsea. 3 or more goals have been seen in 6 of Luton's last 7. Minus half a goal over the last 8 seasons, 298 matches, 149 home, 149 away. Salu Luton, my rating suggesting. I thought it would be a little bit more, to be honest.
Well, I want to take this spirited Luton team here, Pete, but I'm not sure I can get myself round to doing it. And I think when you look over the last sort of 5 or so seasons, when bottom 6 teams play each other, 46% of games end in a home win. So that's a true price of 2.17. And in my mind, I'm thinking, will Burnley come into this game in good form? Then I look at the recent performances, Pete, or the recent results. They've won 1 of the last 6. And I'm like, well, where have I got that in my mind from? And I think it's more the fact that they lost narrowly to Villa. They only lost 2-0 to Liverpool. And they lost 2-0 away to Everton. But they've drawn with Brighton. They lost narrowly to Wolves and they beat Fulham. So although they're not picking up more points, Burnley, they are keeping in games a lot better than they were. And I do think this is one of them games, again, where the kickoff time can really help the home side. The lights will be on. The home fans will know it's a big game. Luton do score goals, though. And that is the concerning factor for Vincent Kompany. I mean, the last time they'd failed to score was against Manchester United, Luton. They've scored in about the last 10 apart from that. And then it was Spurs and Fulham and Chelsea, the other teams that have not scored against this season. And when they came into the top flight, that was the big concern. People were saying, how are Luton ever going to score enough goals? Well, they've scored in every game but 4. That's not bad. I think Burnley just about to be deserving of minus half a goal favourites. But I tell you what, if they let you down in this spot, I wouldn't be rushing to back them anytime soon. So for the purposes of the podcast, Pete, I'm just going to take the draw outright here.
Next up, Arsenal against Palace. Recent head-to-heads, very mixed. Arsenal have won three. There's been four draws. Palace have won one. -1.5 goal handicap here. When -1.5 goal, Arsenal's record is very good. 1-9 drawn, 1-loss, 0. 7 of the 9 victories are by 2 or more goals. They are coming off a 2-1 defeat away at Fulham. Indeed, they've had a couple of poor losses, actually, in the last few games. Palace, when +1.5 goals, 1-2 draw, 0-lost 8, 4 of the 8 defeats by 2 or more goals, come off a 3-1 victory at home to Brentford. -1.5 goals over the last 8 seasons, 175, 82 home, 93 away, small value Crystal Palace. This fixture has been mixed, there's been some mixed results, but I do see Arsenal winning the game though.
Well, Arsenal have gone just 4-5-2. When the sides have met in recent seasons. And I have to ask a question for you. I know you're a Peterborough fan and season ticket holder, but you are a follower of the Gooners, aren't you, Pete?
Yeah,
you do have
yeah.
a little bit of a soft spot for them. Is the pressure mounting on Arteta? And I don't mean in a sacking sense or anything like that, anything ridiculous, but
I think it has to be a little bit disappointing, doesn't it? I think most people, if you'd have said a month ago, I think most people would have said if they're going to win it, they're going to win it now. I thought they still can win it, but I thought this last couple of games has been dodgy for them, hasn't it? I think obviously morale is not as what it was a month ago, is it?
No, and they've lost two back-to-back London derbies, and here they take on a fellow London side who they've not dominated, just 4 wins in the last 11. I think I'm going to mention a player's name here, and people will laugh when I say this, but Jordan Ayew is off to the African Cup of Nations for Palace, so he's not going to be available. And I think that's a big blow, and some people listening to this podcast may not even heard of Jordan Ayew. And those who do follow the game will probably think, well, he didn't score many goals. But I tell you what he does do in these sorts of games for Palace. He holds the ball up well. He wins free kicks and he helps Palace slow the game down away at the better sides. And he is and that's why he's such a reliable and well-used player for any club that he's signed. Now, he's not going to be there. So Palace will need to make a change in the attacking third. And if they bring a player in who doesn't maintain and retain the ball as well as he does, isn't able to win as many of those subtle free kicks that help slow the game down, then Arsenal may be able to build a lot more pressure in this game, as they will have more of the ball than they would have done normally. I do think, though, +1.5 goals, Palace is definitely the side to take. I will be doing a Focused on Football.co.uk preview for this, but bearing in mind we're still a couple of weeks away from it, that won't be being posted for another week or so. But yeah, on this 1.5 goal line, Pete, I think given the confidence issues that you referenced at the Emirates, I think you have to take Arsenal on here. They may blow Palace away, but they just might not either.
Right, next up, Brentford against Nottingham Forest. Recent head-to-heads, well, Brentford won the game last season. When -0.5 a goal, Brentford's record reads 1-2, drawn 2, lost 1, come off a 3-1 defeat away at the previously mentioned Palace. Forest, when they are +0.5 a goal away from home, 1-0, drawn 2, lost 2, come off a 2-1 victory home to Manchester United. Good win, that is, for Nottingham Forest. Brentford, they've lost their last 5, so they're in poor form, Brentford. -0.5 a goal, 298 matches, 149 home, 149 away. My race is suggesting some good value, Brentford. And despite these 5 defeats on the bounce, I think you can see Ivan Toney coming back and scoring a hat-trick here, can't you?
You certainly can. I wonder if he'll have a few quid on it. The interesting thing for me here, Pete, is that we talk about managers under pressure and just referenced Arteta after 2 defeats. I mean, coming into this game, but one of my points for this game is, should Thomas Frank feel under pressure? I mean, I say that because they're taking on Forest here, who've made a change at the managerial helm with Nuno coming in and taking over from Steve Cooper. Well, Steve Cooper was sacked on the back of a 1-5-9 run. Brentford are currently on a 1-0-7 run of results. You said they've lost 5 on the bounce. Before that, they beat Luton, which is hardly a big achievement. And then they lost the 2 games prior to that. I think it's more a calibre of the opponent that Brentford have lost to, because 4 straight defeats to Sheffield United, Villa, Wolves and Palace, are concerning, the fact that they've not been able to obtain at least a point from any of those games, and especially those last two defeats. Palace beat them 3-1 and Wolves hammered them 4-1. Now, Brentford have never lost, though, in Premier League action against Forest. They won this fixture 2-1 last season, and both games up in Nottingham ended 1-1. There have been goals as well. All three meetings of the teams have landed a yes on both teams to score, Bet Pete. I'm like you, though. I think if ever you could handpick an opponent, and I know Forest have had a little bit of upturn in form recently, but you'd want to pick Forest at home. We've seen them capitulate a few times this season on the road. So, yeah, Brentford minus a half. That would be my bet in this one.
Right. Next up, Sheffield United against West Ham. A recent head-to-head, Sheffield United 1-1. There's been West Ham 1-1. Plus half a goal, the handicap here is here. When plus half a goal, Sheffield United's record reads 1-4, draw 0, loss 2. Not a bad record, that, when the outsider at home. They're coming off a 2-0 defeat away at Manchester City. West Ham, when they're minus half a goal away, 1-2, drawn 1, lost 2, come off a 0-0 draw at home to Brighton. West Ham kept a clean sheet in their last four games. They've been in good form, West Ham, really. Plus half a goal, 146 matches, 74 homes, 72 away. Very small value, West Ham, my rating suggesting. And it, yeah, it's touch and go, this one, I feel.
In terms of it, can I just ask, Pete, your ratings here, are they always just team-specific rather than sort of spot-specific for how teams are against other teams?
The ratings are not spot specific. They're against all matches into concern. They take every game into consideration.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is because I've been doing some digging here, Pete, and West Ham minus half a goal here, from a trend perspective, should be one of the strongest bets you should make all season. And in terms of classing West Ham, I'm just going to class them as a top half finishing team. Top half finishing teams win 62% of games away to bottom six finishing teams. That's a true price of 1.62.
Well, wait one second. I'm just gonna. Sorry for interrupting you there, but yeah, I make West Ham 1.8 to win this game. 1.84.
So
yeah.
So from a trend, long-term trend perspective, they should be 1.62. And then you look at the bookmakers, and the bookmakers have them priced at 1.95, the best bet you can get. And you probably get even money on the exchanges, but QuinnBet, they have them at 1.95. Why does nobody ever take West Ham seriously? That's my question. Is it just the name? And they think, well, oh, it's West Ham, though. But they are a consistent top half finishing team, aren't they, really?
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know, 10th, 16th, 6th, 7th and 14th over the last five seasons. I think it's the record under Moyes in this spot. West Ham are 12, 11 and 6 away to bottom six finishing side. So on this line, they're just 12 and 17. That's probably why we double clutch a little bit and think, oh, I want to press submit on this bet on West Ham, but it's West Ham. I think they're really reliable to avoid defeat here. I'm just going to quickly go in while we're talking on the podcast. I know you won't get great value on this, but on the draw no bet, I'm just going to have a quick look on what that is. You can, well, yeah, 1.40. That's not great value at all, really. That's what you can get on West Ham on the draw no bet off the scratch line. I don't really see West Ham losing this game, Pete.
No.
But can I really dive in and trust them to take all 3 points? Again, the answer's probably no. So, for the podcast, I'll probably take the under 2.5 goals, because I think, as you quite rightly say, Pete, West Ham are getting it together defensively. We know Sheffield United struggle, and the first goal in this game will be critical.
Bournemouth-Liverpool next. Recent head-to-heads, Bournemouth have 1-2 and Liverpool have 1-4. Plus 3/4 of a goal, the handicap here. Bournemouth, when they're plus 3/4, 1-2, drawn 3, lost 3. Two of the three defeats by two or more goals come for 3-1 defeat away at Spurs. Liverpool, when they're minus 3/4, 1-6, drawn 2, lost 2. Four of the six victories were by two or more goals, come up a 4-2 victory at home to Newcastle. Liverpool now not lost in 13, top of the table, and they're looking good. plus three quarters a goal, 198 matches, 67 home, 57 half loss, 74 loss. So that makes 67 plays, 102.5. So, you know, very big lean to the away side. My race is suggesting good value, Liverpool. This has got to be a good bet. I'm a little bit perplexed at this line, if I'm honest. I think the line should be nearer, probably 1.25, something like that, plus 1.25.
I think the bookies are trying to tempt you in, Pete, and I think they're interested to see the impact of no Mo Salah for Liverpool. He's obviously gone to the African Cup of Nations, and we've talked season long about how Liverpool are just getting through games. They're winning games by the odd goal. They're getting results without performing well. Well, often, when they're struggling, all 10 eyes, well, 20 eyes, of the players on the pitch will turn to Mo Salah, and it'll be like, go on, Mo, do us something special. I think in this sort of game, if they're struggling for that spark, who's going to do it? Who's going to be that difference maker for Liverpool? And I think the bookmakers are trying to tempt you in. Now, incredibly, Pete, I've just run the stats on when Mo Salah doesn't play against when he does play. Do you think they get more points when Mo Salah plays or he doesn't play?
I'd have to say it'd be pretty equal, but see, he'll play in most matches though, won't he?
So over the last five and a bit seasons, Pete, he's played in 191 games and missed 19 in the Premier League.
Yeah.
When he's played, they average 2.23 points per game. When he doesn't play, any guesses?
I'd say 2 points.
They average 2.42 points per game. They average more points when he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Now, that's a relatively small sample size. It's 19 games against 191. So it's not a huge sample size, but it's still half a season. It's still half a Premier League season when he's not played, and they've actually obtained more points. So the perception is that they may struggle without him. The reality is that they perform better. Now, I've not got the breakdown of who those games are against. They could have all been against Sheffield United, Burnley's, you know, those sorts of sides. But maybe we're buying in too much into this conception that they'll struggle without him. So I think, bearing in mind, I've just run those stats, I'm going to have to take Liverpool minus three quarters of a goal here.
Yes, are you surprised by that line or not really?
I suppose I am, but when you think about it, what have we done all season? We've talked about, oh, crikey, Bournemouth have won again. What
yeah,
have
they got? Yeah,
five
yeah.
Five wins
yeah.
in six.
Yeah.
And then all season, we've said Liverpool are just winning games.
Yes, in fairness, they don't get tonked at home, really, do they?
No, and week after week, we've said, oh, Liverpool aren't that great, but they're still winning by the odd goal on the top of the table. So we shouldn't really be surprised if eventually the lines sort of married towards what we've been saying for the last 3 or 4 months.
Here's a game where the line moved from minus one to minus three quarters. Brighton against Wolves. Recent head-to-heads, Brighton are 1-2. There's been two draws. Wolves are 1-1. We're minus three quarters. Brighton's record reads 1-5, drawn 2, lost 3. Three of the five victories by two or more goals. They come off a 0-0 draw away at West Ham. Wolves, when they're plus three quarters, 1-1, drawn 2, lost 3. None of the three defeats were by two or more goals. Come for 3-0 victory home to Everton. Wolves have won their last three games. They're coming into some decent form. Despite this, my race is getting very small value. Brighton at minus three quarters. Minus three quarters over the past 8 years, 230 matches, 96 home, 60 half win, 94 loss. So that makes 106 plays, 76 home, 60 half win, 94. So that's 106 plays, 94. So very small value, Brighton.
Well, I'm all over the over goals here, Pete. It's at 2.75 goals. I have no idea why it's so low. Should at least be three. Yes, on both teams, the score was cashed in every single Brighton home game this season. Then when we start to look at, oh, do we think Wolves won't be able to exploit the way Brighton play? Well, the answer to that is no, because as I've repeatedly said, when we back this Wolves team in certain spots where the game opens up, they are very good on the counter-attack. I mean, over 2.5 goals have gone 7-3. under De Zerbi this season. A career long 35-16 to the over 2.5 goals with him at Brighton. Only West Ham have won at the Amex this season. I see Wolves scoring and Brighton always score at home. So I'm surprised this line isn't at least 3p. I think you're getting at least a quarter of a goal value. So you have to take the over 2.75 goals.
Right. Let's have a look at this then. It's an interesting... I'm going to go with 5 bets here.
Jesus Christ, Peter. Right, I'm gonna... 2 weeks, haven't we?
Yes. I'm going to go Fulham plus one goal away at Chelsea. Newcastle plus one goal at home to Manchester City. Aston Villa off scratch away at Everton. And I'm going to go Brentford minus half a goal at home to Nottingham Forest. Hopefully Ivan Toney will be back to scoring good ways. And Liverpool minus 3/4 away at Bournemouth.
Oh, you've let me down there, Peter, with all them underdogs to start off. I thought this is the Peter I fell in love with all those years ago, just backing the underdogs. But no, you've let yourself down. You're betting a couple of favourites as well, mate. Well, I'm just going to have one bet. I'm going to load up for 3 points. It's going to be the over 2.75 goals in the Brighton against Wolves game. I think you've got some really good value there. I'm just actually going to click into it now. Again, terrible podcasting. I just want to see what the over 2.5 goals is, because that could be a max bet for me if that's crack over 2.5 goals. 4-6, so 1.66. You might be able to get 1.7 on the exchanges. I think that is pretty good value, that, to be honest. But yes, just the one for me, Peter. My confidence has been a little knocked.
Yeah, I'm going on 2 points on each of those 5. Just a quick one. What do you reckon to the Ivan Toney situation now he's going to come back? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I said at the time, I think, you know, the Football League and the Premier League have got a lot to answer for. They more than happily take money from betting companies. If the product is that bad and their players shouldn't be using it, maybe they should ban all sorts of sponsorship, Peter.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think he'll play when he comes back?
Oh, he's a fine specimen of a man, isn't he? You've seen a lot more of him than I have, obviously, being at Peterborough. Yeah. I actually don't think the layoff will have done him any long-term harm. He'll probably come back fresh with a point to prove and... I wouldn't want to be a centre-half for the first sort of 6 weeks after he's banned.
No, do you see him going to Arsenal, or don't you think that will happen?
I'm not sure they would. Well, no, because I don't think they've got the money, have they, Arsenal? By
no, I'm not sure that it's going to take a lot of money. It wouldn't surprise. I think, yeah, you're more likely to get these deals done in the summer, aren't you?
And I don't know. I mean, again, I've not seen huge amounts of him play like you have, Peter. I'm not sure in terms of his style of play whether it will completely marry with Arsenal's, will it?
Yes. No, I'm not too sure. He's good in defence as well. So, I'm not sure.
I think you'd do far better going to somebody like Manchester United, to be perfectly honest.
Yes, yes, you're probably right there. Yeah, you're probably right. Right, anyway, we shall be back. Well, it'll be a couple of weeks, won't it? Two and a bit weeks we'll be back.
It will, but I've got the Focused on Football League 2 betting podcast that'll be out.
Yes, that's good. And also... Yeah, and also, obviously, Focused on Football. Go to Focused on Football over the next 2 weekends. There'll be League Two preview, European preview, probably.
Yeah,
you know,
all previews.
Yeah, all the normal stuff. And then join the free service, and we still have our free bets there. So anyway, it just remains us. We shall see you in 2 weeks' time.
Best of luck, everybody.